Thank you. Good day, friends. It is our great joy again to present to you some of the most wonderful things we have in the Word of God. You know, when I think today of how people are turning away from the revealed Scriptures, which gives to us not only the revelation of the character of God and the heart of God, but also the purpose and will of God. You know, the Lord Himself is following through a real plan and purpose. And there's no power on earth and no power in hell that is going to change the purpose and plan of God. The reason why He created the worlds and made man in His own image. And then to make the plan of redemption so that we may really become members of the family of God, His sons and heirs, indwelt by His Spirit. And hence He wants us to walk and to live our lives so that He will be glorified through us. And this is what we're dealing with in the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and 6. It's really God's way of sanctifying His people. That sanctification is not by keeping the law, that is the law of Moses, but sanctification is by the indwelling Spirit. And we found in the first 11 verses of chapter 5 that this wonderful gospel of the grace of God gives me liberty, not liberty to sin, but from sin. And then I find that this gospel of the grace of God also gives me a new motive, verses 12 to 15, which is love, for by love we serve one another. The new principle of operation, a principle which works from within, not by a law without. Then the third thing we had was the grace of God, or the gospel of the grace of God, causes us to walk in the Spirit. And this is what we're dealing with from verses 16 to 26. In other words, the Spirit of God is the one who now governs our life. As you could say in verse 25, if by the Spirit you live, then by the Spirit walk. Now, if I may just run down these things, in verse 16 we have the exhortation to walk in the Spirit. All believers are in the Spirit, but the exhortation is for us to walk in the Spirit. And remember, putting down the flesh does not cause us to walk in the Spirit. But as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, He lives out the very life of Christ through us. And then in verses 17 and 18, we had a warfare, where the flesh desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So you do not do the thing you want to do. And one is very much reminded of the book of Romans chapter 7, where we see these two opposite principles before us. And remember that grace is not the strength of sin. The law is the strength of sin. Grace is the only thing, the only provision that can deliver men from its guilt, from its power, and thank God one of these days from its very presence. For as Thessalonians, the second book says, we have the good hope through grace. And then we had, in closing our last lesson, the works of the flesh which were manifest in verses 19 to 21. As I say, here you have only a sample of what the flesh can do. It's not a very sweet sample, I confess to you, but it's a real sample. And this kind of a life is manifested today all over the world. Whether it be in Portland or Seattle or Yakima, wherever you are, this kind of a life is evident all around us. But this should not be the life of the Christian. We are told to walk in the Spirit. And then in verses 22 to 23, I would like to read these verses because to me they're very, very precious, and I'm sure they must be to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now what a contrast it is from the preceding verses. Allow me to read them now. In verses 19 to 21, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations or jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. In contrast to that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. I want you to mark, this is the life that pleases God. Here we have the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. This is where it is, means to walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident. And I would like to suggest this to your thinking, that spiritual gifts are not the signs of a Spirit-filled life. Not your service, not your gifts, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. As someone has well put it, the fruit of the Spirit is love, manifested by joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and self-control. I am well aware today that there are those who say that we need more. In fact, every once in a while someone says, yes, your pastor is all right as far as he goes, but he doesn't go far enough. Have you ever heard that statement? I'm sure you have. And of course, the people who talk to you, they've gone much further than you. Otherwise, they wouldn't make such a statement. And it's a statement that is based on ignorance. Now, you may not like that statement, but it is. When you come along to some people who belong to a certain church or wherever your church is, you see, you're not going to the right church. You ought to come where we are. We have more than you. It's all right as far as you go, but God has more for you. And they begin to declare that they are in a superior attitude and a superior experience to what you have. Now listen, the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of a Spirit life, Spirit-filled life. He has just said in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. And what is the evidence of a life walking in the Spirit? Well, verse 22 and 23. The evidence of a person walking in the Spirit is not evident by any of the gifts of the Spirit, which you find in Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, nor of the service which you offer. A person can be full of Christian service and yet not be walking in the Spirit. A person can have all the gifts of the Spirit and yet still be carnal. You know, to me, it's a sad thing today. We have those who boast about gifts of the Spirit, and yet we see graft and deceit and pride evident continually. It's an amazing thing, this. But I want to tell you that the grace of God, which brings salvation, also teaches us, if I may be allowed to quote from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, where the apostle writes, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the grace of God which brings salvation also teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It teaches me to live soberly and righteously. It teaches me to live godly. In other words, it teaches me how to live before men. It teaches me how to live in my own heart before God. And it teaches me how to live godly. The grace of God does that. Nothing else. Nothing else. Law-keeping doesn't do that. It's the grace of God that does it. Now, let's look at these for a few moments. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, we've been discussing this way back in verses 12 to 15, that we have a new law, that is the law of love, a law that's inside of us, love. As Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And if I say I'm a child of God, and the revelation in the Scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16 is that God is love. And if I'm a child of God who is love, then what would be evident and what should be evident in my life but love? In fact, in Corinthians chapter 14, the first verse, we are told to chase after love and desire spiritual gifts. You see, love and obedience goes together. We've said this before. Supposing I say that the fruit of the Spirit is love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, do you remember it? though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I'm nothing else but an empty tin can. And though I give my body to be burned, though I give my goods to feed the poor, though I prophesy and perform all miracles, and have not love, I am nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Never behaves itself unseemly. Never seeks its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, but rejoiceth in that which is good. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Love never faileth, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if I say, or if you say, that we are walking in the Spirit of God, that which will be evident will be love. If I claim, if you claim, to be a Spirit-filled Christian, the evidence of that will be love, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. Indeed, again may I say, if I'm a child of God, and that God is love, then that which should be evident in my life, in my words, in my actions, in my attitude, should be love. You see, friends, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's this want of love among God's people that reveals the fact that we're not really obedient disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember our Lord said in John 13, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And when you and I walk in the Spirit, then the evidence of that, first of all, will be love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he goes on to give us some more. But I want to stop there today on this thing. Why don't you and I walk in fellowship with the Lord today? I'll guarantee you one thing, that if you and I walk in fellowship with the Lord today, that which will be evident in our lives will be love one for another. Not only love for God, but love for His people and for others. And may the Lord richly, wonderfully bless you today for His name's sake.